setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I'm coming to you live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how you can get there. It is about you. This is not political talk radio. This is purposeful talk radio. We're talking about your contribution. Every man and woman that's ever lived on the face of the earth has at some point wrestled with the question, why am I here? What should I do with my life? And that's what we're taking on. We have a simple process where we help you get clear. The first stage in realizing your dream, working like no one else, giving yourself away. Get clear. Then get qualified, then get connected, then get started, then get promoted, then get the dream job, to then work like no one else and give yourself away. Those are the seven stages. Get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get your dream job, give yourself away. What stage are you in? I'm here to walk alongside of you, to help you pull the answers that you do have, pull them out of you, and let's come up with action items, help you get from one stage to the next. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Somebody listening right now needs to call. I feel it. Call today, right now. Clarity is a call away. 844-747-2577 is the number. We keep on going. Carrie's on the line in Portland, Oregon. Carrie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for the honor to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Well, it's all my honor. How can I help today?
So I am trying to find out the best way to support my poor husband. He has been working his corporate job for 18 years now, and it's been this crazy roller coaster over 18 years that's made him pretty miserable for at least half of it, if not more. He survived multiple reorganizations and company buyouts and merges and layoffs. And, you know, it's not uncommon for him to go through a year with three or four different managers with all the ups and downs that he's gone through with this position. Mm-hmm. But even though he's been through that, it, all in all, it's been a very stable thing for our family. He makes a really great income. He's got really awesome benefits, pension, bonus, you know, the whole shebang. So it's very hard for him to leave that piece for the stability of our family. So for myself, I was spent 20 years in the corporate business too and was absolutely sick of it. And the difference was, is I wasn't making near the income and I really did not have the potential to do so. So 4 years ago, we decided to buy into a franchise and open our own business, which we've been doing. I'm freaking loving life. I love what we're doing. The business is going pretty okay, enough for me to replace the income I had coming in.
Good.
But it's a long shot forever replacing his. So
Wait, whoa. Okay. Why is that a long shot if in 4 years or in a short amount of time, this franchise has basically replaced your income? Is it not going to grow? Has no chance of growing?
Not to the level it did in the first year.
Why?
No. Well, it's a membership base. So after the first year, it's all about replacing members that you lose and then, you know, trying to grow a little bit from that. But the bigger issue to it is that our franchise is going through some serious problems that's making the future of our business.
Oh, okay. So what's your scary. so what's your question for me about your husband?
So he now had, you know, the thought and dream of helping me run this business eventually. And with the junk that's going on at corporate, it's pretty much off the table. And he's just really frustrated that now he's stuck in this job he still hates.
He's not.
And I'm wondering how I can sort of support him.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the deal.
Yep.
First of all, he's not stuck. He is keeping himself in this situation because he looks at it and he sees the amount of money he makes and the benefits that he has.
Yep.
And conventional wisdom, maybe even real people in his life, if he were to walk away from that, he's worried about
what they might say. So it's a little bit of a golden handcuff situation because he makes really good money. It's also that he thinks that it's just insane. The idea of even moving himself out of that seems a little crazy. He is also dealing with the fact that he's probably scared to make the change, even though he's miserable. This is what we know about the human condition. So this is not exclusive to your husband, Carrie. He would rather deal with what he knows than deal with what he doesn't know. And even though he's miserable, he knows what to expect. And he just kind of bites his lip and tries to make it through the week.
Yep.
And it's killing
him. That's true. But he also kind of sees me, you know, sort of making my own schedule. And
Yes.
The thought of going to work for somebody else doesn't, in his mind, solve any of the problems of...
That's a cop-out. That's a cop-out because he's scared. Yeah. He's scared to make the change. I wish I was talking to him. I'm glad I'm talking to you. So your question is, how do I support him? So here's the thing. You have to be nothing more than the supportive spouse by asking lots of questions and not accusatory questions that put him on the defensive. I'll give you an example. You need to say, hey, I know you'd like to work for yourself, but if that's not an option right away, what if we weren't in this franchise business? What would be something that we as a couple, meaning I'll take the lead on it and get it launched, what would be something that would be attractive to you? Give him another idea besides the franchise thing. Just because this thing isn't working out doesn't mean you guys can't do something else, and maybe this time it's on your own. What's a side business that you could start that 3 to 5 years from now maybe could support both of you? Let him get invested in another idea. That's one question. Do you see how that kind of gets a conversation started and it doesn't put him on the defensive?
Yeah, I've actually had that conversation with him, and he just was like, well, I thought it was the business that we have.
But that's not the answer.
Know? Right.
You could say, well, babe, that's not what I asked you. Okay, that's just one example. Here's what you have to do. You have to say, I know you don't necessarily want to work for somebody else, but what would be the parts of his current job that if he could fix with a magic wand, he would fix? Ask that question. Mm-hmm. Now, that's going to get him, and he's talked to you about this, but this is what you have to do. You got to get him to reveal what's causing all of the frustration and pain. And then when he gets talking about that, he's got to see that there is a way to potentially work for somebody else because he's got great experience. He's very valuable in the marketplace, yes or no?
Yes.
He's got great experience. And if he could get into a healthy culture, he would love going to work, making that kind of money with those kind of benefits, wouldn't he?
You would think so.
No, come on. Come on. Of course he would.
Yep. You're right. I wish you were talking to him.
But my point is, you asked me how to do it. That's one thing you need to do and say, what else would you be interested in? How can I help you? How can I support you? Listen, I'll jump in and help you look for things. And then he doesn't have to jump. He can step right into something else, making the same amount of money, being happy. But I would push him on those two specific questions. He's down right now and he thinks there's nothing else. And you might just have to keep reminding him that there's a whole lot more out there besides this franchise that you got in. Or there are other companies where he could be extremely valuable, make really good money, great benefits. He's got to see that there's more possibilities than he can see. And he's got to be okay stepping out of the boat.
Don't move. More of your calls just around the corner. Hey, folks, you matter and your family matters too. That's why it's so crucial to be protected with the right insurance. There are 10 kinds of insurance coverage you might need based on your life stage. So our team built a tool called the Coverage Checkup to show you what coverage you need to add, drop, or adjust. This could be the most important 5 minutes you spend today. So visit RamseySolutions.com/coverage. Don't let an emergency sneak up on you. Protect your family right now. This is where America hangs out to talk about purpose. How do I figure out what my purpose is? And then if I do figure it out, how do I make it a reality? Well, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show. That is why we're here. Taking talk radio by storm because everybody's going, what is this? wait a second, you're not going to talk about Washington, D.C. and its impact on my dream? No. So, you know what makes this fun is, like, it's come one, come all. We don't care what your political persuasion is. What we care about is what your purpose is. So, if you're looking for another show about somebody firing you up and getting you angry, this is not it. If you're looking for a show that fires you up and gets you on purpose, now you have arrived. Because this is what we do. It's all about you. You were created to fill a unique role. That means that you are needed. It also means that you must do it. So now it's not just feeling good about ourselves that we matter. It's we better get about the business of mattering. In other words, we want to do work that matters to us because we know the results are for others. 844-747-2577. If you're stuck, confused, scared, down, defeated, this show's for you. We can help you. Let's get that Mount Everest clear so we can get our heads up, looking forward. And then we'll come up with a path to get you up to the top of your Mount Everest. The American dream is alive and your dream job is closer than you think. 844-747-2577. We go to Orange County, California, where David is on the line. David, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How's it going?
I am living the dream, David. What's going on?
Great. I just had a question. So I'm struggling to pursue my passion in law enforcement. I've been pursuing this for about maybe 4 years now. And the reason why is because the last time I applied to a volunteer position, I got all the way to the polygraph exam and they did my hour and a half interview, answered the questions they're going to ask me. And then as soon as I sat down in the chair, the examiner said my heart rate was through the roof and they couldn't establish a baseline. So they couldn't administer the test for me. And then they invited me to come back the following week and same thing happened. So they couldn't push me through. And then another thing that I learned is that I'm partially colorblind. And so some of their standards, you have to have uncorrected color vision for the job. So I don't know if I should keep trying to pursue this field or look into another career. I'm just kind of feeling lost.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Okay, so let's address the two hurdles. The biggest hurdle is that you're freaking out when it comes time to take the polygraph test. You're just freaking out.
Yeah.
Are you you're not hiding anything?
No.
So why are you so what is your fear when you sit down in that moment? I'm just curious.
For me, what was going through my head is that I was a police explorer, so I did volunteering for about over a year, and they gave us two presentations on the polygraph exam. And what they said was like, oh, if you fail the polygraph exam, no place is ever going to hire you. So that's like kind of going through my head, and the intimidation is making it like, oh, if I screw this up, there goes my, you know, potential for a career. So that was like going through my head.
Yeah, but you know, that's just a bunch of garbage. I mean, really is. It really is. Like the fact that if you fail a polygraph, well, first of all, you can't even take the polygraph test because you're so wigged out. You're so inside your head. It's not even making any sense. And now I'm going to tell you something. I think there's two ways to go here.
Okay.
I love that you laughed the way that you did because I feel like maybe I broke through to you and you were like, that really is silly that I'm that scared of this thing. You know what I mean? Because I think your mindset going into this thing is I'm really honest. Have you ever broken the law, David, beyond a speeding ticket?
No.
Okay, then what if your mindset went into this thing and you're going, man, this is going to be a breeze. I'm like an actual Boy Scout. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the worst thing you've ever done to break the law is to get a speeding ticket. You have nothing to hide. Is that true or false, David?
No, that's true.
So you have nothing to hide.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now that's one thing. That's the old, okay, I'm gonna just change my focus going into this next one, going, the last couple times I've done this, I'm in this weird, just crazy place of focusing on, oh my gosh, if I fail this thing, I'm never going to be employed again. Ah!
Yeah.
I mean, do you realize how goofy that sounds?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you went in going, well, the great news is I've made it all the way to this thing twice and it's only me psyching myself out. So now I'm going to go into this and my entire thought process is I'm not going to fail it. I can't fail it. They're not going to ask me anything I'm going to lie about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you lie, David? Do you struggle with lying?
No.
Okay, then.
Actually, my mom said I'm a pretty bad liar, so.
See, this is great. So I got to tell you, I think if you had that kind of focus and you were laughing about this going in the next one, I think you pass it. But let me just say this. Maybe you go have a couple of sessions. Now, this is the professional route, and I really recommend this. Maybe you go have a couple of sessions with a licensed psychologist, a counselor, a therapist, and just discuss this. Like, I am freaking out. Anxiety is hitting me. It's a panic attack is what it is. And that's real. Panic attacks are real, and that professional will give you the tools to be able to face that. So I think that's probably worth, with all the effort you've put in for 4 years, paying for a couple of sessions for someone to help you with a panic attack on this, I think that's really smart. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I think if you do that and get the help and the tools that a professional can give you to face that panic attack and step through it, not even get a panic attack, I think you come through with flying colors. Now, the only thing I don't understand is the colorblind thing. Can that be addressed if you wear glasses?
So it kind of depends on department policies. Some will allow corrected color vision glasses and some wouldn't.
Then go there. Then you go after that.
Yeah, I've tried it, but they only slightly correct the colors that I differentiate.
Okay, so so here's my question. There is no solution for people who are colorblind like you that would allow you to be fully functional.
No, it's mostly the reason why is identifying people and vehicles. That's the whole reason for the color.
So here's the deal. If you can't overcome that, then there's nothing we can do about that, right?
Right.
So maybe it's a different type of law enforcement or public safety. Mm-hmm. Get outside of being a police officer and go, what are other ways that I can protect and serve the community that don't require me to be a police officer with these specific things that I'm not going to be able to overcome? Because it's really your heart that you want to serve. So there are multiple ways besides being a police officer. You could get into security. You could get into so many different things. Maybe you get into being a private investigator. That can pay pretty well. I mean, I just want you, your homework assignment is to identify all the different ways that you could serve the public in a way where you were making the world safer. And you are protecting people and serving people. Because I think you have put yourself in a corner to where the only thing is maybe being a police officer versus I'd look at federal law enforcement. I'd look at different types of work within law enforcement that don't require you, to have the issue with the colorblind thing solved. Make sense?
Yes.
Because,
yes,
David, listen, there's a lot of things you could do in the public safety, public service space. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right.
All right, David. So, hey, listen, I want your mindset to be all about that. That's your homework assignment. Identify all the different ways where the colorblind issue is, in fact, no longer an issue. And then let's go after that, man. No more 4 years of agony. And if you have to do a polygraph test, again, go see that licensed therapist and counselor and get some tools to be able to manage the panic attack. That's doable. I am a firm believer in psychology and the tools that professionals can give. So go do that. You got this. Coming up, we'll take more of your calls. Today may be your day to get the clarity you need to confidently step out and fill your purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Do you want to make more money to do what you love with the people you love? Have you ever thought about bringing in more income by selling products on Amazon? I want to introduce you to Seth Kniep. the founder of Just One Dime. Starting with a single dime, Seth built a multi-million dollar Amazon business. And you can do it too. With 126 staff and Amazon expert coaches, Just One Dime has trained over 10,000 people from around the world, many of whom are now multimillionaires. Their award-winning online training, along with personal one-to-one mentorship, will walk you through the entire process, including opening your Amazon seller account, building your brand, selecting a profitable product, finding the right supplier, launching your product, and marketing and managing your online business. If you'd like to learn more, schedule a call today by going to jod.com/Ken Coleman. Again, that's jod.com/Ken Coleman. Welcome back, America, the show that is dedicated to helping you become the real you, the you that the world needs to see. Not somebody else's version of you. Not the lie of fear and doubt version of you. Not the beaten down version of you. So many people dealing with so many things. These voices, these limiting beliefs in your head. The limiting belief of fear. It says you don't have any way possible to get where you want to go without financial failure. That's a lie. The fear that says people are going to make fun of you. People are going to say, what is wrong with you? You've lost your mind. They're not going to accept your decision. The doubt of, I don't have what it takes. I know what I want to do. At one point or some points, I believe I can and should do it, but most of the time I don't have it. And I'm delusional. That's doubt. Pride, which says, I don't need any help. I don't want any help. I'm not going to ask for any help. If I can't do it on my own, I'm not going to do it at all. Well, newsflash to those of you overwhelmed by pride. There's no man or woman on the planet who's been successful that's done it on their own. So get over yourself. 844-747-2577 is the number. Now we go to Juan, who's on the line in Houston, Texas. Juan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a little bit nervous and excited to be on your show.
Good, man. That's all right. We're going to take good care of you. Nothing to be nervous about. How can I help today?
So, Ken, I'm in the discovery stage currently. Uh-huh. I've been an engineer for about 5 years now, uh-huh, and I'm stuck, and I don't know where to go or how to discover my sweet spot.
Okay. How long you been listening to the show?
I've been listening to the show since, I think, over a year now.
Okay, and you've heard me walk through this with people, so you do know how. You're just getting hung up on something. You know how to identify your talents. You know how to identify your passions. I've told many people this. I'm going to walk you through this, but you're getting hung up on something. What are you getting hung up on?
Some days I just feel like I don't have the tools to discover what it is.
Why is that? What's going on there? You've been dealing with some tough stuff in your life? You got to have something in your background where you has caused you to struggle with self-belief?
I would say so, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, we don't need to unpack that, but you got to understand that you can't become an engineer if you have no talent. Is that a true or false statement?
That's true.
Okay. So let's start with that. You do have the tools. So let's look at what you've always done very, very well. And this ought to be easy. I don't want you to think too hard on this. You're an engineer, for crying out loud. Would you consider yourself a good engineer that people would say, this guy, Juan, knows what he's doing?
I would say so, yeah.
Of course you would say so. So what do you do best? What have you always done best? What are your top talents? Go, list them.
Well, looking at my StrengthsFinder summary, my top talents are harmony, responsibility, activator, learner, and arranger.
Okay, good. So I love that you've done StrengthsFinders 2.0. I think it's a fantastic book. Now, those are strengths. So within those strengths, there are some specific skills you have. So what are your top skills? Things that you just do very well. Tell me the skills.
I would say I'm a fairly good communicator. Mm-hmm. I've worked on that. Mm-hmm. I like to perform. I like to be in in environments where my work is noticeable mm-hmm. or is depended upon. Mm-hmm. Okay. And lastly, I'm a problem solver.
Yeah, see, that's the engineer. That's the engineer brain. I mean, engineers just solve problems. You've just always been good at it. Now, for a second, the second thing you said was actually leaning into the passion side of things. Remember, talent is what we do best, and passion is what we love to do most. So you like to be in a situation where you have to perform, and I'm going to add another little caveat to that. You like to perform under pressure. When people are noticing you, we got a problem, we just called Juan in, and we think Juan's going to be able to fix it. Please, Juan, fix this. That's what you like. That's where you get the juice. Yes or no?
Yeah. I would say yes.
Yeah. Now, you've been saying I would say yes. Is that a habit, or is that you're not 100% believing that? I want to know.
I think, yeah, it's just 100%. I don't believe, I feel like some days I look for affirmation in others.
Yeah. Well, but that's coming from somewhere else. That's coming from somewhere in your life where you didn't get affirmation from somebody that you wanted it most. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a different story. So here's what's happening. You're allowing the person or persons that you most wanted affirmation from in your life, and you didn't get it from them, but you're allowing them to create doubt in your own mind. Because the people you love the most, the people you looked up to the most, they didn't give you the affirmation that you craved. And as a result, you're wondering, why didn't they give that to me? Is it because I didn't deserve it? Is it because I wasn't good enough? That's what you're dealing with. And that is a lie. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Now, do you believe me? I know you understand me, but do you believe me that that's a lie? You have a lot to offer.
Yes.
All right. So listen.
I'm taken back by it. That's all.
Say that again.
I'm taken back by it. Yeah. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. But is it a true statement?
It's true.
It's exactly right. So what's going on is you're dealing with massive self-doubt. So you've got to potentially consider getting some professional help so that you can get these feelings out to a professional counselor, deal with them, and then while you're getting some professional help, and again, I believe in counseling. You don't have to have it. I would recommend it. But at the same time, you also need to start surrounding yourself by people who affirm you. Natural affirmation animals. I mean, just people who are naturally encouragers. I will tell you, my wife is one of the world's great affirmation artists. She does it intentionally, but not just, it's not a fake thing. It's just, it's who she is. But she's very intentional to lift people. And so being married to a person who's high on affirmation is really great. But get around some friends. I got some great friends that are always encouraging me, always saying good stuff. Way to go. Attaboy, Ken. Good job. You got to be around those people, okay? The other thing is you got to start looking for a different narrative in your own mind. I'm really good at solving problems, and I like to perform under pressure. So where can I solve problems under pressure and people notice it? Boy, that's a soul thing. Okay. But at the end of the day, what are the problems you most love solving? And I'm going to suggest, Juan, you might be in the right place. You're just in a bad mindset because you're not getting enough affirmation at work. So maybe you're looking for a company that you've got great leaders and a more healthy culture where you can go solve problems. I don't think you're trying to necessarily figure out what it is you're created to do. I think engineering is doing what you do best. If I look at what you just said, your talent and passion, it's there. I just think you may need to change environments. And I also think that you got to stop looking for everybody to come alongside of everything you do and go, Juan, that was the greatest thing of all time. That's just not realistic. And that you're looking for people in the office, you're looking for leaders to fill a hole that they can't fill. I think that's what's going on. So I'm going to say this. You need to go get some professional counseling and just get healthy on that. Because I can sense in your spirit, there's a weight on you. It's just heavy. And that's not your fault. I'm not judging you. I'm just shooting you straight. And if we can get you healthy on that hole. Get that hole filled where you've been looking for others to affirm you and you begin to believe what is true about you and you get healthy, you're going to be fine. And then I think you can truly focus on what that sweet spot is. But again, I don't think that you're outside of that sweet spot. I don't see that. I think you got a bigger problem of self-doubt. We get that solved. We get healing there. Then we can get clear on some other stuff. And here's the deal. Call me back. But you've got to get healthy first, and then we get clear second. There's still time for more calls. More coming up. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, Ken Coleman with you. If you've ever had to look for a job, you know it's stressful. Combing through job openings and feeling lost in the shuffle. ZipRecruiter knows that the general experience of looking for a job is pretty sucky. That's why they figured out a way to make it unsucky. When you sign up on ZipRecruiter.com, you can create a free profile. Then you get matched to great jobs, plus a lot more. Go to ZipRecruiter.com right now to sign up absolutely free and put ZipRecruiter to work for you. Welcome back, America. This is where you go to get clarity and confidence so that you can courageously step out onto the path that you were created to walk on. The world needs you to be you. Stop trying to be somebody else. You want to know why you're stuck, confused, scared? Well, let's name it. I'm here for you. I'm your coach. I'll walk alongside of you because I know that you have the answers. You just got to put me to the test, dig them out of you, and let's uncover your heart. Because when we begin to discover what our heart is telling us, then we realize what it is, why it is, and then let's figure out how to make your why a reality. Why am I here? This is the age-old question. This is what we are helping you with. Nobody else is doing this on talk radio, folks. And by the way, just dial in the Ken Coleman Show, and we'll help you be immune to all that junk. 844-747-2577 is the number. We go next to Eric, who's on the line in Minneapolis. Eric, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. It's an honor to be on with you.
Oh, the honor's all mine. How can I help?
Just some quick background before I get into my question. Actually, tonight I'm finishing my MBA degree.
Yeah! Congratulations! Yep. How's that feel?
Oh, so good. I am on my way to my sweet spot. I love business.
Man, that's awesome. Great for you.
Thank you. However, my current job and my undergrad degree had nothing to do with business. And as I'm looking to get into my sweet spot using your tools from your website, my employer has no idea that I have been through school and looking to leave basically any time. So do I tell them?
Are you worried about telling the employer this? Like what they might do when you tell them?
In a way, I feel like it's going to make me very expendable.
Well, that's fair. Are you prepared? Okay, let's just play the scenario out. If you were to tell the employer that you got your MBA and that you're prepared to do something else, and all of a sudden he goes or she goes, well, you are expendable and you're gone, how does that affect your life?
I don't have another role to step into, which I, of course, want that. As you've talked about.
Well, how long before you think that you're going to leave this employer?
That's the thing. It's just hard for me to know. It could be next week. It could be 6 months. I don't know.
Okay, well then why do you feel like you need to give more notice than what is culturally acceptable, which is a 2-week notice?
I just feel that I'm keeping something big for me in my life with this MBA just kind of bottled inside me.
Well, go tell somebody else.
Fair enough.
Go find 5 or 10 other people that don't affect your employment and go tell them. You got an Uncle Larry or somebody you can call that you liked, your favorite uncle? Call Uncle Larry. He'll be proud of you. Here's the thing. I'm not trying to be silly, Eric, but you don't owe the employer any explanation on what you've been doing on the side. Have you been stealing from the company by getting your MBA on his time?
No.
Okay. So what you do in your own time is not something that you're required to tell that leader. It's none of his business. If I go get guitar lessons at night because I want to go play gigs on the weekend and make an extra $1,000 a weekend, do I have to tell Dave?
No.
But I tell you what I do have to tell Dave. I have to tell Dave everything that he needs to know as my leader that affect the work I'm doing for him and the expectations around my role. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you're not keeping anything from that leader. And here's the other thing. You don't even know where you're going. So if you walk in there right now and you go, hey, I want you to know I got my MBA. And he goes, okay, that's cool. What are you going to do with that? Well, I'd like to move on somewhere else. Oh, well, great. Why don't you go clean out your desk right now, Sparky? Because we could use that money to pay somebody else who wants to be here. And all of a sudden, what you thought was honorable and felt so good is just kind of stupid, right?
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Eric, be honorable. Mm-hmm. Be honorable. When you land something else, you go in there and give them 2 weeks' notice. Give them 3 weeks' notice. Give them 6 weeks' notice. But you got to plan for it. Right now, you're in stage three, and that's you have embarked, right? That's you have started out into this, and you're starting to achieve. Tonight, you step into stage four on some level, right? Just the early stages you've embarked, and now you're going to achieve. And so now, you know, it's where you land next, and you have a general idea. You just don't know when it's going to happen. So again, I'm trying to take all the pressure off you. You're not being dishonest. Mm-hmm. And you're being honorable, and stay honorable. And when the time comes for you to share that, then go ahead.
Thank you.
All right, my man. I appreciate you. Let's go to Dana, who's on the line in Kennewick, Washington. Dana, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
I'm trying to help. So my husband, who's been at the same industry, retail, for 28 years, actually, same business, and he's at a spot where he's realizing that maybe he wants to do something else, and I'm trying to help him figure out what that might be using dialogue with him in regards to what he likes to do and where his passion intersects. I've been listening to you for a while, just got your book, and just trying to figure out, because it's like a huge change going from a retail manager to he really likes to do stuff outdoors, stuff with his hands, and doesn't like the confrontation of management.
Okay. So when you've talked to him, done your best Ken Coleman Show version with him, what does he tell you are his... What? And you know what? I want his answers and I want your answers because you know. So what are the answers to the questions of what he does best?
What he does best is he is very detail-oriented and he's very mechanically inclined. And he's a follow-through. When he's going to do a project, he sets it out and he gets it done. Mm. And he enjoys doing that. And he does okay interacting with people. He just doesn't want to manage people.
No, I get it. He's a great conversationalist, but he doesn't want to lead a team of people. I get it. Totally get
it.
Would you call him he's good at working on his own? I mean, okay, here's what we need you to do, and he goes and gets it done. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's talk about passion. When you ask him about work that he looks forward to, work that when he's engaged in at times seems to disappear, work that when he's done with it, he looks at it and he goes, oh, that was rewarding. What does he say on the passion side?
Oh, gosh. So like when recently was working on some four-wheelers to put them together that had been sitting for a while, digging into what needed to get done, ordering the parts, getting them done and being done, loves that. Whether it's we built a shed out back, he designed it, engineered it, we ordered the parts, we put it together. He loves to do that.
So let me ask you this. If he was on the show right now and I said, hey, talk to your wife and we think we got some ideas for you. I want to know your reaction. And I said, all right, I'm going to give you the money you need to make plus a little bit more, and you're going to be a mechanic. You're going to be fixing engines or some kind of a thing all day long, or you're going to be building, woodworking, restoration, blah, 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 blah. Which one of those two? Well, first of all, how would he react to the two of them, and which one do you think he would jump at? If he knew he was going to be successful at it, could not fail, and he could make the money he needed to make, which one would he choose?
I think it'd be the restoration.
That's funny. I just threw that out there. I was trying to think of woodworking or being in a carpenter or something like that. But you think it's that?
We actually recently talked about. I'm a Well, kind of, because I'm a realtor, and we've talked about if he did handyman type stuff on the side, how could he go about doing something different to phase out? Because part of the problem is he makes really good money where he's at.
How much?
$150,000.
Yeah, so here's what has to happen. So I love this. You all need to dream and stop making it an all-in type conversation. So he makes really good money, and so we want to replace the $150,000, or at least most of that $150,000, but it may take a couple of years. How do we do that and keep his soul alive? Well, I think he starts doing restoration projects for your clients. They need fixer-upper. They're going to buy a house, and you go, hey, I know a guy really well who does a great job, and you guys build a side business there, and you build it up to where it's got a year's worth of salary in the bank. That's how that works, a little bit at a time. Here it is. Start small, grow slow. Have him just start doing it for your clients. That's huge. And you pocket the money and you save up for the transition. That's how it works. Every time. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.